Bienvenido, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on that Freeform Network. Man, we're still plugging away, Andy, man, and all surprising, but we're still doing it. Facebook, not Facebook anymore, right, Andy? Soon, maybe.
Maybe. We got to work out the details with Zuckerberg.
Right, but on X for sure, Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. But again, for Freeform Radio, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. With me today is Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And we got Andy.
It's all good, Andy, and I'm glad we're all here together.
Heck yeah, man. Got this thing going again. Another week together. Yeah, man, this is episode 217, so they just keep rolling in, man. Well, at least if everything keeps going as it is, it's going to be 217. So, Noel, start off this episode strong. Fill us in on watching the new X-Men animated. Now, I am interested in this. I was actually watching a little pre-thing before you start watching X-Men 97 to kind of catch you up on what things they would be talking about. But fill us in on what your thoughts are, man.
Yeah, so growing up, I mean, you already know, you introduced me into comics, and well, you and Andy technically to introduce me into comics, and so I grew up loving X-Men, Spider-Man, all that stuff, and the animated series back in the 90s. Man, like that was the epitome, like that was the height of animated stuff for America. And so they remade the original series. But it's not really a remake. I would rather word it as a continuation of the original series, honoring the style, like the personalities. The
animation style, right?
Yeah. Although it is updated, you know, it does look modern. It looks high res and all that.
Yeah,
but it
Rose
does still
don't
have
no booty. I heard, man. Did you see that stuff?
They toned it down yeah, a little bit.
It was a big thing on Twitter or X or whatever that people were in an uproar that Rogue has a smaller booty on this new 97.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're nitpicking at stuff like that, it just shows you that they did a decent enough job that's what you're picking on is like, oh, her ass is not big enough. It's like, all right, that means they did everything else at least pretty good. And to me, they did. They only released two episodes so far. It's going to be a weekly release. And it's on Disney Plus, but there's other ways of finding it if you try. But yeah, X-Men 97. So I would say it's a continuation of the original series, taking up after Professor Xavier. Spoilers for those who haven't seen it. He passes away in the original 90s series. Towards the end, he gets shot and he passes away. So it's kind of like
I remember in the original, he went with that space lady to another planet. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, to get saved. So he was dying.
Yes.
And so the Xanax or whoever the heck
yes.
those space aliens are, they took him away so he can try to survive.
Yes. Okay. I don't think he died. I know. Yeah. I mean, I know for the show's premise, they say he's dead. But what I recall from the show, he left to keep him alive to another planet or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's essentially gone. Like, he's not going to be around. It's like Zordon. Like, Zordon's, like, not physical anymore. You're not going to see him. He's not going to be around, you know? So it's kind of like that. The team has to go on without him, pretty much. And so that's where it picks up. You know, they're leading their lives and without Xavier in a world that's still very much against mutants, very much hunting them down and trying to just, you know, enslave them or you know, restrict them from being free. And so, yes, it's pretty good, man. I honestly, the two episodes, I think they were about 20 or so minutes each. They were actually quality, well done. The production's there. The voice acting was really good, and I noticed, I started looking it up, most of the original voice actors actually reprised their roles as these characters. So you're going to hear a lot of familiar voices, and it just, the nostalgia is there, man. If you love that show, you're going to see it. You're going to hear the music at the start, the very start of the freaking episode. You hear the music, and it's, man, it's like a time capsule. It just brings you back to just the good old 90s, man. Things were a lot different, you know. You do have a new character introduction, and it's kind of strange how they introduced them, and kind of strange, like a couple of scenes with them. There was a nightclub scene, and I was just like, what the hell? But everything else was, I would say, really cool. And the dialogue was good enough. And they do have a good story going so far. I don't want to spoil it, because if you're going to watch it, I don't want to really go into the details of what happens. But there is a decent story developing. And if you know about the comics and you know about Cyclops and his children, you're going to know that there's some weird stuff going on with that. And they introduced that, so you'll see it. But again, I don't want to go into too much detail. I would just say right now it's a good start. I hope it keeps going this way. I was afraid it was going to be really woke and just all this, you know, ridiculous stuff. But thankfully, no. So far, it's pretty tame.
Nice, I mean, man.
There's already a lot of controversy with the show. I know they fired the guy that was in charge to bring it back. They fired him a couple weeks ago. And if you look into his background, there was some red flags about wokeness and all that. So I don't know. Maybe there was an issue with Disney, but time will tell. We'll see what else comes out. And then the other thing I was reading about is they were having issues with the Spanish audio, the SAP. And people were saying that Disney did not splurge on that like the original show, and then get the original actors, and they made a lot of changes in the quality of the audio. The Spanish audio was pretty crappy, and I know there was a lot of hype for this show, so I watched a little bit of it. I'm not gonna lie, last night I watched the whole first complete episode, and some of it was it was okay. I'm not like you yet, but I didn't finish the episode. I got like halfway through it, and I know it's the first episode. They're trying to introduce that new character and like at the club, and I just felt like Gambit and Rogue are like horny, and like Rogue's complaining that she can't fuck, basically, right? That's the gist I got from the club scene.
You're gonna see that there's more to that, and so in the comics, does Magneto and Rogue have something going on?
Not that I know of, unless it's like in modern. Now, I was into the X-Men, but I'm talking about back in late 90s, early 2000s. So I'd be curious if some new story arc has that. But is this new character that these guys, obviously these guys are holding spoilers, so is this new character part of the X-Men universe, or did they invent him for this new 97 X-Men?
You know, I don't know his backstory. I don't know a lot about him, but in the animated episode, he is introduced as somebody that was being detained by like these extremists that want to hurt mutants. And so they save him and they bring him back to the school. But kind of like Logan, he's like, nah, F this, I'm out of here. And Jubilee did the same thing. And then so they all kind of like convince him, like, hey, give us a chance. Like, we're actually not bad people. And it's all right. It's I don't know why they introduced him, to be honest, but it is what it is.
I think he's like Morph. You know, when the first show came on, everybody was Morphing. Everybody's like, this guy's not in the comics. I think I got to research it, but I think he is just for the show.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually excited, but from hearing Noel, it got me more excited, but then hearing Andy afterwards, it kind of bummed me out, so I'm not sure if I should watch it or not. I'll probably still watch it because I'm a big X-Men, Fox animated. I dug all that. I dug the Spider-Man animated from Fox, so I'm really excited to watch this.
Yeah, I would say after the club thing with the new character, you don't really see him too much, and it's not, at least for the rest of the first and second episode, he's not like a major focus or anything. It just kind of started out to introduce him, but then it's all about the X-Men after that. And it's cool, man. Like, I'm enjoying it. And believe me, I don't want to see the woke stuff either. But I did hear rumors about Disney cleaning up house and trying to remove that. Like, they've lost just so much money because of this woke generation. So we'll see how it turns out, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see it back. X-Men, I had no expectations, and because of that, I think it exceeded it, you know? So if you go in with no expectations, you're just like, let's see what we got, I think you might be pleasantly surprised. And I'm hoping they do something like this for Spider-Man, because the 90s Spider-Man was on par, if not better, than X-Men. I love Spider-Man growing up. Like, that was one of my favorite characters. And which actually, I just started playing Spider-Man 2 on PS5. I picked it up like about a week ago, but I decided to hold off on playing while I beat Final Fantasy 16. So I guess that was actually a couple of weeks back. And anyway, so I finally beat Final Fantasy 16. I'm like, it's time for Spider-Man 2. And so I can, like, you know, focus on it and just give it my undivided attention. And I'm really liking it so far. Now, there is some, you know, woke stuff here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty good, and it's what I was expecting of the game. And you do have Miles Morales in it along with Peter Parker, but you know, I was kind of bummed out to see that they're giving Miles pretty much like this big strong push. And while it is a Peter Parker focused game, or at least supposed to be so far, there's a substantive amount of Miles Morales play time. So I was like, all right. Well, I guess this is what's going to happen, and maybe they'll be phasing out Peter Parker in the next couple games. But once they do that, I'm done. You know, I'm done with it. Peter Parker's the OG. If you lose him, you lose Spider-Man, in my opinion, right? So far, I'm liking it. This is the game with Venom in it, and it's got a little twist to it. It's not what was it? Flash? What was his name?
Ed Brock.
Oh, yeah. Ed Brock. Yeah, that's right. Ed Brock becomes Venom in the original iteration, but this one, it's Harry, Peter Parker's best friend. So Harry was, like, going to die or something like that. Norman Osborn did some experiments. I guess they used a symbiote to, like, kind of heal him, and so now he's got the Venom power. But this is, I'm only like maybe a quarter of the way through the game, so we'll see how it all develops. But so far so good. I would probably give it probably like a 7.5 out of 10. We'll see how it ends, and then maybe it'll go up a little bit.
Yeah, but how's it running on PlayStation 5? Because this is the first Spider-Man that's solely on PlayStation 5. The Spider-Man 1 and the Miles Morales came out for PlayStation 4 and 5, but this is the first one just PlayStation 5.
The graphics are good, and the thing is, when you first load up the game, it tells you, do you want to do 30 FPS and then focus on the quality, or do you want to do 60 FPS and focus on performance? And then you could do something where it's like 120 hertz mode if your TV supports it, which thankfully mine does. And so I put that on. And then there's something where it uses like this technology to kind of buffer, or like if it's like too graphically intensive, it'll like, it's like super sampling. Do you guys know what that's all about? Like
this right, resolution. Right, to get 4K. Right.
Yeah, like a variable resolution. So I put that on to get, I put it on fidelities for the highest graphics, 120 hertz mode, and then the variable resolution thing. That way it gives me the best picture and the best performance simultaneously. And so I would say it's smooth. It's definitely not stuttery. It's definitely not jittery. Maybe people that play on like 120 hertz FPS on like these 1080p monitors, maybe they might notice something. But for me, and what I'm doing, swinging around, having fun, like I'm not noticing any stutters. I'm not noticing any lag or glitches or anything like that. So it's been smooth to me.
Cool. You know,
yeah.
Oh, nice to hear.
Yeah, I would say it's worth picking up, especially if it goes on sale. If you got other stuff going on, then that's cool. But if it goes on sale, I'd definitely pick that up because it's fun, man. It's entertaining. You get the very first like big battle, you fight Sandman, and he takes over like pretty much the whole fucking city, dude. It's like a huge, like Godzilla-sized Sandman, and it was fun. It was cool cinematics, a lot of effort in it so far. So we'll see.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely waiting for it to go on sale to pick it up and be one of the next big PlayStation games that I play.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, man. I've been playing that probably about 10, 12 hours in it so far. I think it's like a 20-something hour game. But like I said, man, I love to explore, dude. I've been actually taking time to explore the city because it really is beautiful. Like, they put a lot of time and attention into making it like the actual city of New York. And so I've never been there in real life, but like, I'm pretty much getting that fix right here just by playing this game. I don't have to go to the city now, you know? You get to like swing around everywhere.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a lot more open. I think it includes the Bronx now, where the first Spider-Man and the Miles Morales game, you couldn't cross the bridge. It like made you zip back. And so supposedly it's got a bigger portion of New York.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge world map, like, or the New York map. Like, you explore the whole area pretty much, and it's fun, man. So far, you know, I noticed, though, there's not a lot of the bad stuff you see in New York. You know, aside from the crime, there's not, like, a lot of the homelessness that you see nowadays in New York City. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't see the squatters either. It looks like, Andy, you got something to talk about here involving squatters. Let's switch it over to you, man. What's going on with the squatter situation?
So, people who own homes, man, like, I used to read about squatters a lot after 2008, and then, like, you really don't hear about it no more because the economy got good and people weren't losing their homes or whatever. But like specifically this year, there's been a lot of news about squatters, especially like in New York and the big city. There's one lady went to her house to confront the squatters and they killed her, right? And then they dismembered her and put her in duffel bags.
Dang, dude.
And then this week, a migrant video went viral on TikTok talking about how in America, if you go to homes that are abandoned, you can own them and all this. The laws favor people who live in the house instead of the people who own it. And it went viral, but I think it's starting to come out. Maybe it was like fake, like this guy posting shit to stir stuff up. But the one that really caught my eye was the one this lady's mom passed away in New York, in the city of New York. If I remember correctly, it's in Queens. I could be wrong about that, but her mom died. She left them the house and she went to handle stuff. She came back like 6 weeks later. There's people living in the house. They're squatters. And she's telling them to leave and all this stuff. And they're like, nah, we're not leaving. So she called the news for people to help her. So she went. She confronted the squatters with the news people there. And then they got into an argument. They called the cops. So there was three people living there. Two were in there recently. They arrested them and they took them. But the one guy kind of knew what he was doing. He was playing the system. He was telling the cops he has a lease, which he didn't. He had a receipt where he fixed stuff in the house.
I heard about this.
Yeah, and then the cops and she's like, you need to get him out. And the cop's like, well, look, this is a landlord-tenant thing. He goes, you have to take him to court. And the guy's like, yeah, take me to court. Like, let the judge decide who has the right to live here and all this other stuff. And then he left, and then she had a locksmith waiting. And the cop goes, look, if you change the locks and he comes back, technically I'm going to have to arrest you because you're illegally evicting somebody. So the cops left, the guy left. She's like, change the locks. And then the guy comes back. As soon as the guy was done, he burst through the door. And then she's trying to keep them out, and then they call the cops, and they arrested her. The lady who owns the home, they took her for illegally evicting somebody. And, dude, this set up, like, people are, like, pissed in New York. There was other issues in Portland and California. And, like, this whole thing has been going on for, like, 2 weeks. People are, like, they can't believe the system is set up to screw the property owner. Because one thing, America has always been known, like, you know, you have the right to defend your property and all this. And they can't believe the system's setting them up where it's set up to help the alleged victim and then screw over the landlord. And now it's just like this thing where there's companies springing up how to evict people, squatters, I should say squatters. Just people are wordened up, man. They're messed up. A lot of people are like selling their homes and getting out. I was seeing some where people go to vacation for 2 weeks and they come back and people are living there. It's like a fucking nightmare, man. That's like the worst case shit you can do. They fill out phony documents and like, then it's your job. The cops can't make a decision. And they're like, you got to take them to court. And meantime, you're out money. You got to go live somewhere. Like, it's just a fucking nightmare. And people are just fed up and they can't believe it.
Yeah. What probably amplifies it, or at least here in the Chicagoland area, is they just passed that new law where you can't rightfully, like, you can't shoot a trespasser that comes into your house. You have to give them opportunity to leave or something. I forget what the law is specifically, but it was something that was written in this year that passed along with that no bail, you know, zero bail the thing.
Bail reform thing. Yeah.
It came in with that law. So it definitely makes it where squatters are a lot more difficult to handle nowadays.
Well, that's the thing. They talk about professional squatters and all this other stuff. And it's just terrifying what can go on to the average homeowner. And they did their study. The people who rent homes and condos and all this, 7 out of 10 is just like one person who owns like that, rent that house and they own another house. Ain't these like people have this image of like some conglomerate owning like all these buildings, which is the case, but a majority with these people, it's usually like the one person who rents out the house. It's usually older people. That's the other thing. It's like, and it's just like a nightmare for them, you know? And the lady in New York that inherited her house from her mom, they valued that home at like $1 million. And, it was just like I can't imagine going through the process of all that. And I was reading too that some of the people demand, well, okay, you want me to leave? Pay me all the money I put into fixing your house. You know, they want the cash for keys thing where they want like $10,000 or something like that instead of paying the court. And some people pay them because it's cheaper to do that than go through court.
Yeah, I know we got family members that are apartment owners and whatnot, and they rent out. And I've heard horror stories that to evict somebody, it's a drawn out process. You can't just go there and knock and be like, hey, you got to get out by tomorrow. That some of them, you got to take them to court. Some people you can intimidate and they'll leave. But he's like, but the vast majority, they're like, no, take me to court, bring the sheriff and tell him to kick me out. And so then you got to go. You got to waste a bunch of time and money to start up the process to get them evicted.
But that's the thing, then, like, those are people you have leases with and all this stuff.
Right, right.
That's these a are people, yeah, right. These people, like, they see the houses by itself or no one's living there. They just go in there and, like, say, I live here. And there was one in Chicago where this lady, she was in the process of selling the house. She went in there for a showing and there was this lady and her kids just, like, full-blown living. She's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I live here, man. And then, like, this is my house. Like, well, I don't care. Like, you can't show the house. Like, I live here. Like, I have rights. And she produced, like, this phony lease or someone scammed them. They really don't say, but a lot of them, they have bullshit leases that supposedly they paid someone. And then it turns into, like, this legal mess, which is, I think a lot of it, they feel like it's bullshit just to say that they can stay there. And then they're like, well, take me to court. We'll let the judge figure this out. In the meantime, they don't pay rent. They get to live there. It could be up to like 9 to 10 months before they have to leave. It's like a draw. And then they live there rent free, doing whatever the hell they want there. You know, they can be like messing. They don't care. It's not their house, so they're not going to take care of it.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in right now, man. It's, I don't even know, like, what can you do, right? Like, are you going to, unless you could pay somebody, like, hey, take care of this for me, you know, pay somebody to strong arm
them. What are you going to do? Yeah, you go in there, like, the only thing I could think of is, like, some vigilante shit. You go in there in the middle of the night with mask on, guns, and go, and you fucking just throw them out. What the fuck they going to do? You think the neighbors are going to be like, oh, yeah, I saw somebody snuck in there? They're going to be like, no, they're not going to do anything because they don't want that shit happen to their house, you know? And, like, eventually that's what's going to come if the cops ain't doing common sense things, you know?
I got to find the video, Andy, but I saw something on YouTube not too long ago where this guy hired a professional squat evictor.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, and it's a guy that goes in, well, at least this guy, he goes to where the squatter is, and he'll live there with the squatters and just cause a bunch of havoc to the point where the squatters are like, I'm getting the hell out of here, because when the squatters call the cops and they're like, hey, you got to get this guy out of here, he pulls the same shenanigans as the squatter and says, well, I'm here. The owner rented me this place. He leased me this and that. So he's under the same jurisdiction as these squatters. And before you know it, like after a couple weeks of it, the squatters can't take it. And they get up and they take off.
That's the thing. It's like, it's some of these people have families and they have whole families living in there. They're like some adult person. It's just insane, man. Like you can't think... this shit could go on here, and it does, you know, and it's a shame, and, like, it's such a hassle for, like, always the law-abiding citizen to go through this whole process, and then, like, at the end, they're just living their pain without paying anything, and it is... It's just, like, to me, personally, I think, like, I'm in the process of purchasing a second home, and we're gonna rent this one out. Now I'm thinking, like, if this place or the other place after I buy it, if we're not in there right away, what the fuck can happen, you know? The other day we were driving by the house that we purchased, and there was like a bunch of cars in the driveway, and I'm thinking, like, what the hell is going on in there? Because the person who owned it passed away, and I'm like, I was guessing it was their family trying to, like, remove stuff and take stuff, the belongings, or move to clear the place out. That's the only thing I can think of. And I'm thinking now, like, man, what happened? Those are fucking squatters, you know? That's like one of my concerns now and shit. But yeah, I mean, it's just a mess. And you know, with the way the economy is, I don't see that changing. I just see it getting worse. And like California is pretty bad. I was reading Chicago's pretty bad. Like New York is like where all the horror stories are coming out, and like with the murder and now the people, the cops arresting the homeowner, the illegal homeowner. It's just like, it's crazy. And I'm always thinking like some of this, are the houses paid off? Or is there like a lien against it? You know, like you don't know what the hell's going on. And, It's just the whole process. It's set up for the homeowner to get like screwed. Especially, I was reading during COVID, if the pandemic, if you fell behind on your rent, they couldn't legally evict you, right? That was like some emergency declaration. So if the person loses their job, like the landlord, what are they supposed to do? They still got to pay the mortgage. Like, are they getting any help from the bank? You know, to not to pay? Like, it was just like this vicious like cycle.
Yeah, no, it's really unfortunate, because as a homeowner or a person who's trying to, you know, grow, it's difficult because there's all these people trying to scam and get ways around it, around the system.
Yeah, and like in a lot of the articles and the videos, they call them professional squatters. So we'll see. I mean, to me, like I said, I'm a homeowner, and I like this stuff is like, damn, man, like what else is going to happen? What else can be in today's society here in the United States be breaking down? Because this shit is it's concerning to me anyway. But Let's change it up. Let's get a little bit lighthearted here. I see Danny went to a bar, the Broken Oar. What happened, man? This sounds like a cowboy bar or something. What's going on?
Yeah, this Broken Oar bar, we went for St. Paddy's Day, and it's right off of the Fox River. It's in Barrington, so it's not too far from the house. And Alana wanted to go see a cover band that was playing there. The cover band's called Tennessee Whiskey, and they're a Chris Stapleton cover band. So we went down there, which they happen to be playing on St. Paddy's Day weekend. So we had that going on, plus this cover band. And, man, it was a full house. Now, I know, Andy, I look like a super partier, like I do this all the time, but I usually don't go out to stuff like this. So to see so many people, so much liquor, being drunk, it was something that I'm not really accustomed to too much. But it wasn't that I was being a prude or anything like that, but it was definitely a lot of people having a lot of good time. Nothing too rowdy, but it was a real cool vibe, man. I really dug it. The atmosphere looked really nice. And, you know, the concert was at night, or at least when we got there, it was like 7, 8-ish or something like that. So it's already dark. But even driving up with the lights that they have, it looks like they got a nice patio outside area. And like I mentioned, it's a bar right next to the Fox River. So I would just assume if you go in a nice day, you could just sit out in that patio, listen to the music, have a few drinks, have a few something to eat, and it looked like a good time. It looked like a real nice bar.
So you said it was a concert. What time did the main event, but the star, what time did he perform?
Well, there was three bands that day. Mm-hmm. So there was two other cover bands. I forget what they all played when we got there. The second band was like in the middle of their act, and they were playing like Michael Jackson stuff, some Grease, some like Bee Gees stuff. And it was very entertaining, that second band, cover band, because they would do like costume changes. So when they were doing Grease, they had like the pink jackets and the leather jackets. When they did the Michael Jackson, they had the red jacket with the zippers. And, you know, they're like going through these costume changes and really getting into it. The main concert, or the one that Alana wanted to see, started at 9.
And that's
not bad. No, it wasn't too bad, but they were like 20 minutes late, or I don't know if you would say late, more that, you know, I never realized it, but these bands have to set up their own stuff. So when the second band finished their set, and they start packing up their stuff and they take off, I'm noticing that it's the people from the band that are actually packing their stuff up. And when the band that Alana wanted to watch, this Tennessee Whiskey band, they came out and it was the same thing. They're setting up their own gear. They're setting up their drum set, their guitars, all the microphones, the amps, all the mixers, all the stuff. You know, smoke machines and all this other stuff, you know, they're all setting up all their own stuff. And it was just like, wow, man, I would think, you know, granted, this is a small bar. It's just a cover band. So it's not like it's, you know, Bon Jovi or anything like that. I'm sure Bon Jovi's not setting up his own shit, but it was just really eye opening seeing stuff like that and seeing the band put it together. That it really reminded me a little bit of this podcast. I'm like, man, these are people that probably make a little bit of money, but it's got to be mostly like a labor of love, because I would not be setting up all that shit, hurrying up. It's not long enough. And so you're yelling at the guy, hey, get the extension cord. And then you're trying to get the extension cord going. And it's like all this like chaos to try to set up as quickly as possible and try to break down as quickly as possible. It was just nuts.
That's the best part. They're doing something that, I mean, I'm imagining they're doing it for a little pay. It's something that they love to do. And like you said, it's a labor of love. And then the other thing is, like, were they good? Like, this whole thing for them with the smoke and setting up, was it like, okay, like, I would see these people again? Or, like, you're like, man, that was not worth it. Like you said, the second band had was playing like hits and stuff, and you're like, yeah, you're feeling the vibe, right? And like this guy comes out, and you're just like, he's doing all this shit. Like, was it worth the 20-minute wait or whatever it was?
No, it was definitely cool. It was a good band. The guy sounded just like him, or you know, Chris Stapleton's got like a one of those like weird like where when you hear his voice, you're like, that's the guy. That's Pearl Jam. You know, he's got that raspy voice, and that's Pearl Jam sound. You know, oh, that's Stain. That's Stain sound. And you hear these artists, and you could tell right away who's the singer and who it is. And that he kind of sounded like that. He kind of sounded like Chris Stapleton. He's actually playing today at this other local bar, not too far from my house. So he must do like the Midwest. I mean, their band is called Tennessee Whiskey Chicago. So I'm sure he does like this whole Midwest route and just plays at all these bars or whatnot. But no, it was cool. It was a real good time. It was the music was really good. People were digging it, and people were fighting to get to the front. When we got there to the half of the set of the second band, we were like towards the back because there was just too many people. You couldn't get anywhere close to the front. But once the band started breaking down, well, everybody went to go take a piss, go get some more drinks or whatever they were doing. And so the whole front opened up, and Alana's just like, can we get to the front? I'm like, hell yeah. I'm like, if you don't mind, it's a little more rowdy, because you could see that while the second band was going, there was people really having a good time in the front. And the people in the back were more like chill, like they just got a beer in their hand and they're just watching. So I'm like, as long as you don't mind throwing a few elbows, we can go to the front. So we go to the front for the band that Alana wanted to watch. And sure enough, man, there was a lot of people. And there was people, some people being a little pushy, some people just having a good time and just enjoying themselves. But yeah, it was definitely a real lively crew and band there. So it was a good time, man. I'd definitely go back again. And if this band, they're playing at this other bar, like I mentioned, if it wasn't so early, it's at 2:00. I'd probably think about going to see him today too, but no, man, definitely have to go check out the Broken Orb bar as well as this band at a future time for sure.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, nothing beats a good cover band, and if you're having some drinks, it definitely makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah, well, I don't know about too many drinks, man. Alana got an old fashioned, and then I picked up just like a Corona, $30, man. $30 for both our drinks. And I was just like, man, this can't be normal, man. I'm like, is this what people pay to drink out now? I'm like, I can't see.
Was there a cover?
There was a cover because it was their like Shamrock, you know, Blast mm-hmm. or Bonanza or whatever the hell they were calling it. So they had three cover bands, and they had like raffles and a bunch of other little stuff. So it was a $10 cover. 10 or 15, something like that, per person to get in. So yeah, man, it was definitely worth it. It was worth the money to get in. The drinks, I would imagine that's standard, but it's just too much.
And like, you're going to concerts every fucking weekend, so
yeah, for sure. I mean, we got our first drink, but as soon as I paid, I told Alana, I'm like, this is it. I'm not paying anymore. this is it for me, man. I'm done.
You're like, you got your flask out here. Let me refill your old fashioned here.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's why like the pregame culture took off, man, because it's just prices are too crazy.
For sure, man. And I was telling this guy from work that he's like, yeah, I usually go there for St. Patty's Day. It's like my spot. And I'm like, oh yeah, I was kind of half thinking you were gonna show up there. And he's like, yeah, I just wasn't feeling good that day, so I didn't go this year. And he's just like, yeah, usually you have a couple of drinks before you go to the venue, because it's just so expensive that it's not that you got to get there drunk already, but you got to go over with a little bit of a buzz, because otherwise you're paying out of your nose to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Something else that I did, Andy, I watched a movie with the family here. It's an old movie. It's from 2011. I'm wondering if you saw it. I'm pretty sure Noel might have watched it. Super 8 came out in 2011. Does that sound familiar, Noel?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, it's the J.J. Abrams movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Junior had never seen it before, and I think I had seen it before with Alana, but we were looking for a good movie to watch, and I know he was really into Stranger Things, and he was half into Goonies when we watched it together that one time, but Super 8 is kind of like in that area where it's kids getting into mischief, trying to solve all the world's problems in a 2-hour span. And it was a good movie, man. Watching it over again and Junior watching it for the first time, he really dug it. He liked it. I enjoyed it. Like you said, it was a J.J. Abrams. You could tell by the production value of the movie. It's a really good story with, governments, UFOs. Is it supernatural? You know, it's got like all these different atmosphere things. And it's a really good movie, man. I really enjoyed it. And it was something like that it really got me hyped for this next Stranger Things, because I heard it might be the last one for Netflix. But it just reminded me how cool movies like that, like Goonies, and just that kids riding their bikes, getting into, figuring out things. It was really cool. The movie part of it, because there's one character that likes to record and make like these like amateur movies. It kind of reminded me, I think it was you that were into it, right, Andy? In a video class where you would make these movies, and yeah. It was a film class where you would, all right, you got to film a 5-minute short on this and that, and you were recording, and it reminded me of kind of like that atmosphere.
Our high school. I mean, remember we went to high school with 92, 91. They our freshman year, we had to make a movie for health class about the drug issues, and then I took the TV production or editing class, I think my junior year, and we had to make a movie there too. That one I don't remember as finally as the health one, but yeah, I mean, the difficulty you had to do back then with the camcorder, the editing, compared to now, it seems like the fucking dark ages, right? Now you can superimpose yourself on other videos and stuff. Imagine trying to do that and like with a fucking VHS tape back in the day, and the editing, the equipment that had to be used, which was thousands and tens of thousands of dollars compared to now, for with $1,000 phone. It's like night and day, man.
I vaguely remember, I was just a kid, but I vaguely remember you guys made some videos. One of them was in the basement. Yes. It was like some kind of game show, I think, or something. I can't really remember. And then another one was outside the garage, like right here in my yard. And you guys had like baseball bats. And it was just like some weird tough guy
thing. That was the drug one or for health class. Or okay. That's what right. That was. We had like play guns, remember?
Yeah. I do remember that one. That's we had like a classroom setting. Yeah, it was a classroom setting. And one of our buddies, in one of the scenes, we had all these like toy guns. And one of them was like straight up broken. And so when he's going through the guns, he's just like, all right, you take this one, you take this one. And then he picked up the broken one. Oh, this one's no good. It's broken. He just tosses it aside. And it was just like, it was like all these like little funny moments that
he was improvising.
Right, right. does any of that stuff still exist, Andy? I would think if anybody, you had it.
If it's not in your basement or your dad kept it in his tapes in his room or something, I don't know what happened to it. I would love to digitize that. Yeah. And then we did make another one for the TV class, but that one I remember not being as good. I don't even remember what we shot, but the health one I remember, because to this day it was all shot around your house, your parents' house, and Noel remembers it. That's how good it was, you know. That's the type of effort we put into it back in the day.
Yeah, good times, man.
Out of anywhere, it has to be your dad's house somewhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, my dad keeps everything, but I doubt he would keep that tape unless he's just got it buried in a bunch of other tapes and we'd have to shuffle through it.
I'm hoping you put Class Project or something like that on like the label.
Right.
Because when you start moving shit, it's just going to miraculously pop up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's probably one of those spring cleaning moments that when you start cleaning the house, you'll probably run across it. But yeah, Andy, fun times. Let's get into some bad times for this lady in this article of the week. So the article of this week is something that I found on Fox News. It's mom loses disability case after news report shows her winning tree throwing competition. So this is a woman, the article's from February 2024, so not too old. A woman in Ireland lost more than $800,000 in an injury lawsuit stemming from a car crash. So this lady, she's fairly young, 36, sued, had an accident in 2017, and said that she was unable to work anymore because of back pain and whatnot, that she was barely able to like even pick up her kids, and it was very difficult for her to keep a job down. So she got the settlements, she won it. Well, guess what? This lady in 2018, she signed herself up for a Christmas tree throwing competition. And there's video and footage of this lady throwing a tree, and she actually won the competition. So she won this tree throwing competition, and the insurance, being the people that they are, they found this tape and they took her to court, and they're like, hey, this lady was lying on the lawsuit. And to me, it reminded me a lot of myself, just because I was a juror for a case where there was a guy suing the city of Chicago's police department because he got injured from a police car hitting him, and he was suing the city, and he won his judgment, and it was sort of the same thing. It's like, yeah, you have to kind of figure out, these people can't work for the rest of their lives. How much would they earn in their lifespan? And that's how much you would award them. So this lady lost out $800,000, and it just seemed kind of crazy that you would even sign up for something after you were awarded this money. So I guess just opening it up to you guys, I don't even know what you guys think about her, or if you've even seen or experienced anything like this. But yeah, it kind of chimed close to me, like I mentioned, from that jury duty case that I served on.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear she's lucky she's not getting like sued for fraud, you know, at this point. Losing it, that sucks, but at least she's not going to jail for it, because it's obvious she was lying. It's obvious that she was, you know, misconstruing the facts, that she's not as injured as, you know, she claimed to be. So that's, you know, I don't blame her for trying to get some money out of the situation. If she did initially get in an accident or get hurt, whatever period of time that she did have that injury or discomfort or whatever, yeah, maybe get compensated for that. But then to say and lie about never being able to work again, and then stupidly going and signing up for this contest in front of people that's going to get pictures and videos, like, we live in a technological age. You'd have to assume like somebody's going to have a camera, someone's going to take a picture or a video, and then it's all screwed, you know? If you're involving yourself in some kind of situation where you're trying to lie about being handicapped, kind of like in Seinfeld when George said he was handicapped and they gave him like the scooter to take around and shit, as soon as he stood up and started walking, yeah, the jig was up, you know? So you gotta stay in character.
Yeah, for sure.
No, yeah, the best part in the article, they do have the picture of her throwing that tree, and this isn't like some small tree. This tree has to be over 5 feet for the competition that you're gonna throw around. So yeah, man. I think she got greedy. I'm pretty sure she was going to get a payout, but then she's like, I won the lottery, I don't have to work. And there's like, here in America, this is in Ireland. In America, when you ask for a substantial amount of money for injuries, And if you get it, the insurance companies are going to try to recoup some of that money. So they're always going to be monitoring you and stuff like that. So I think she just got greedy, man. And she thought, oh, I got the money. Nobody going to fuck with me anymore. But yeah. And I think there's also, they said there's a video of her playing with her Dalmatian for like an hour, rolling around in the ground with her in the grass with the dog and doing all this shit. And yeah, man. I think she's lucky she's not going to jail. I know in America, sometimes they take you to court and they ask for more than their money back. They try to throw you in jail.
Yeah, for sure. It just shows you that the insurance company was already keeping an eye on her. So they probably didn't agree with the original settlement to begin with. And they caught her with that dog park and God knows what else. And then this tree thing came out. They were like, we got you, man. We got you. And
yeah.
So
like, yeah, see that picture, dude. She flung that fucking tree. It's like high in the air. And she's yeah. like off on one leg. Like she threw her back into it to fling that motherfucker.
Yeah, the way she's contorting there, yeah. that's a good throw. That's not like, hey, my back's hurting, and you know, kinda like you see sometimes people playing bowling, and they throw that bowling ball like all weird because they just don't know how to, or they can't throw it because of their limitations or whatever. And it doesn't look like she's having any limits throwing that tree. And she won the competition. So unless everybody else is also equally handicapped and, you know, cannot throw trees, something's going on and she's faking her injuries.
That's what I'm saying. She won the contest. She had to get like some type of gift card or like 50 euros or some shit. she fucked it all up just to win like 100 euros or something, like, or a gift card, like, just to win that thing, you know? To me, it's just like, you're not an idiot, but you, like, you really screwed this one up.
Right. I think it was like a $20 gift card to Applebee's.
Is that what,
or something.
One, yeah, it was
having no,
something. Yeah, that's what
it
I'm
had
saying.
To be something, though.
It ain't no way. I'm like, it's no way it's like 100 bucks. It has to be like, at most, like 50 euros or something, like, or some discount, like you're 10% off at the local grocery market or some shit, but you got to spend like 100 bucks or some goofy shit like that, you know? And like I said, it's she completely screwed it up. And to me, 800,000, it's not that, I mean, it's a nice chunk of change, but she wasn't that old. I can't imagine living that long with that type of money, you know?
Yeah, I know for that lawsuit that I was a juror on, man, they wanted to give this guy like millions and millions of dollars. Like, and I was just like, yeah, this must have been like
what year?
Maybe like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was millions of dollars for this guy.
That's
and
a million the, goes far back in the day.
Right. And the guy was just like a handyman. So he was just a handyman. And I'm the one that I actually got the jury to stay another day because I wouldn't sign off on it. I'm like, no way we can give this guy. I forgot how much it was. It was like $50 million. And I was just like, no way. I'm like, well, these guys crazy? I'm like, all right, the city of Chicago is at fault, but this is not a justified amount. I'm like, I won't make that much. Me being a capable person, I was still youngish, so I'm like, there's no way that I can make this type of money by the time I die. Like, I'm like, so you're going to grant it to this guy? And it's just like, he's just a handyman, not to, you know, diminish his work, but he's not going to make that amount of money in his lifetime. I'm like, be just. And I brought out math. I put it up in the board. I'm like, how much does he earn an hour? All right, multiply it by inflation, 40 hours a week, 52, and we did all the math, and I'm like, look, this doesn't come out to what you guys want to give them. Pain and suffering and medical bills and this and that, and I forgot what we ended up settling with, but it was less than what they initially wanted to give them. And the funny part is at the end of the case, I kind of heard the city of Chicago guy, he's like, don't worry, we'll appeal it, and we'll get this thing knocked into half or even less. The city of Chicago is not going to pay him that much money. It's like, that's crazy. So,
well, see, the thing is, too, it wouldn't even be the city. It'd be us, the taxpayers.
Oh, right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, you know, you did good being fair.
They got insurance for that. I think that's what people think, but their premiums are going to go through the roof, but they have like lawsuits every fucking day. And that's why I remember reading about how Walmart has like hundreds of lawsuits a day, and like a big chunk of them get settled, and then they go through like the most ones where like this is ridiculous, and that's the ones that they challenge. But if it's all, like a certain amount, they just pay them out because it's cheaper for them to just to pay them out, and they got insurance for that. I'm kind of imagine what the premiums are for this type of insurance, you know.
No, yeah, for sure.
It's insane, you know, and you can sue in this country, in the United States, you can sue anyone for just about anything. So, I mean, it's going to be, that's what I'm saying, this lady in Europe, it's going to be interesting. I wonder if she's going to get any type of jail time or anything like that, because she basically got caught lying. And the other thing is, what kind of lawyer or what kind of doctors was she using, or if any, to say like, yeah, this woman is completely fucked up, she's never going to be able to work again.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure she had some back pain. I mean, she was in an accident. I've been in a few car accidents myself and had some knee pains, a little bit of a neck pain, but thank God nothing drastic where, you know, I was seriously injured. So, you know, who knows how bad the car accident was, but yeah, it's evident that you didn't feel that bad if you were playing around, horse playing with your dog and then tossing trees.
Yeah, I think she's all right. Yeah.
See, that's the thing, man. Like, if she did have injuries in the beginning, she should have just sued for those minor injuries. She would have gotten a payout of some, you know, considerable amount, and then that would have been it. There wouldn't have been this monitoring her and all that, because she wouldn't have said, like, I can never work again. She just would have been like, I can't work for 6 months, a year. All right, here's, you know, 50 grand, 100 grand for your troubles. And then, you know, you call it a wrap. But, you know, it is what it is. And just like a wrap, we have to wrap things up here today. We want to thank you all for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, better follow us on Twitter at FFR Podcast, or I guess it's called X now. And if you have any questions or suggestions, the email to send that is ffnquestions@gmail.com. From Freeform Radio, I am Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm hungry, man. I don't know what I'm going to eat. Maybe some chicken wings. Even though football's done, I haven't eaten wings in a while.
There you go. And we got Andy.
It's all good. Andy, I want to thank you for listening. Remember, when you record a phone call, make sure you let the other people know. Legally, you have to.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we wish y'all a great night, and take care out there.
Dad.